All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is American Vindicta. I wanted to go ahead and try and share something fun and exciting today, but seeing as to how that's not based in reality anymore, let's cover the news again. Look, I don't want to turn this channel into a news covering channel where people, you know, they become these hyping jocks where they're always screaming and raving about everything news. They're fun to listen to, but that's not me. And eventually, I want to be able to get back to what I like to do. But until then, this stuff has to be covered because it does kind of go into what I talk about, especially what we're fixing to cover right now. So today's date is May 31st, 2022. Thank God we are still all alive. The asteroids hadn't hit yet, and the demons ain't coming out of the abyss yet. Because most of them are in the White House. Anyways, this is episode 130. I hope you're all having a good day today. I hope the Memorial Weekend was somewhat festive and entertaining for you all. I literally forgot that it was Memorial Weekend. Ever since I got out of the government, I kind of I don't pay attention to holidays or dates or more or less any of that anymore. The only things that really, you know, matter to me is the birthdays, the anniversary, July 4th and November 10th, you know, birthday of the Marine Corps. So I completely forgot that it was Memorial Day. So I just want to give a big shout out to all the veterans out there. Thank you for your military service. I love you and I thank you, all my brothers and sisters that have served. And for every family member of a serviceman, thank you very much for supporting them. And to everyone else that is out there, Memorial Day is not just for the veterans. It's also for the family members who have lost the veterans. So big shout out and thank you to everyone that was involved. Remember that this country has been fighting for its freedom and liberty since before 1776. And I feel we are going to continuously push that fight into this next new era. Obviously, the enemies that be are abound. They are many. They are mighty. But we serve a mighty God. So that's all I'll say about that. Let's talk about the Buffalo shooting. Who has heard of this yet? There's some new content coming out. Now, apparently, the Buffalo shooter was in a small private Discord channel or chat room that included a retired FBI agent and some anonymous figure that was called Saint Sandman, who supposedly counseled the shooter Gendron about weapons and ideology. You can't make this stuff up anymore. This is the type of conspiracy theory stuff that the government likes to make fun of people about. And then here we go. The FBI again has their hands in the cookie jar with another mass killer. Take your bets. Who thinks the FBI at some point in time has contacted the killer from Uvalde? Really hope I'm wrong. I'm probably not. Oh, did anybody else hear that a certain military flight the same day flew down to Uvalde and left an hour before the shooting? Very strange. I don't believe in coincidences anymore, folks. All I can tell you is that something is happening and people are involved. All right, so this article is from Daily Mail. Thank you, Miss Roxanne, for sending this to me. She's one of the ravens who helps gather all the intel that we get. So, retired federal agent who was a member of the Buffalo supermarket shooter's private race-hating forum may have known in advance of the massacre, but he failed to report it, as law enforcement now investigates the user called Sandman, who tutored the killer on guns. So, let's hit the bullet points. Retired federal agent may have been aware of the Buffalo mass shooting plot. Sources say that Peyton Gendron, who's 18 years old, shared his plot with the agent before his attack. He invited at least six people to the Discord group to review his plans 30 minutes prior. The FBI confirmed none of the individuals alerted authorities about his plan. It's unclear if the agent in question viewed the message before the massacre. Gendron killed 10 people when he opened fire at the Buffalo grocery store on May 14th and has been charged with murder and could face federal terror charges, which he should. Investigators are working to determine if anyone had prior knowledge of the mass shooting and if they should be charged as accomplices. So, let's just rewind the clock a bit. MKUltra. The CIA would use various different techniques and devices, narcotics, barbiturates. They would use all different types of methods in very clandestine experiments that was unwittingly being done to hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens. They used LSD and other drugs for mind control, information gathering, and psychological torture. From 1953 until about 1973 is when all this occurred, but it didn't go public until 1975 when the CIA finally was confronted by Congress. Now, MKUltra, Project Monarch, that was the stuff from the CIA. Then you obviously had the PSYOPs of the military, psychological operations. And you had their mind wars, which was led by an actual Satanist. But what has the FBI delved into? Did the FBI ever delve into anything like this? Well, they have been discredited before. And let's go over something that the FBI has been discredited over. And then we're going to read something called COINTELPRO, which is a counterintelligence program. And then we're going to get back into this article, because I think you need to hear stuff like this. COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program, was conducted by the FBI from 1956 to 1971. Wow, strange. 1956 to 1971. Here, let's look up MKUltra time frame, and let's see, when did MKUltra happen to also take place at? Scrolling down. Oh, that's right. 1953 to 1973. MKUltra experimented on people in the United States unbeknownst to the victims. COINTELPRO spied on these people from 1956 to 1971. There were so many things happening during this time. Like this entire time frame was the golden years for chicanery in the United States. All right, let's get back into this. All right, so COINTELPRO from 1956 to 1971 was used to discredit and neutralize organizations that were considered to be subversive to the U.S. political stability. It was a covert and often used extra legally within its means to criminalize various forms of political struggle and derail several social movements, such as those for the civil rights and Puerto Rican independence. COINTELPRO operations were initiated against various organizations, including the Communist Party, Socialist Workers Party, Puerto Rican Nationalist Party, Black Panther Party, American Indian Movement, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and, of course, the Ku Klux Klan. How do you know a Ku Klux Klan is happening? Well, you'll see about 49 FBI agents and one idiot in one location. Tactics included intense surveillance organization infiltration, anonymous mailings, and police harassment. These programs were exposed in 1971 when the Citizens Commission to Investigate the FBI burglarized an FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania, stole confidential files, and then released them to the press. More information regarding COINTELPRO was later obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, that's a FOIA, and the lawsuits lodged against the FBI by the Black Panther Party and the Socialist Workers Party, and statements by agents who came forward to confess their counterintelligence activities. A major investigation was launched in 1975 by the United States Senate Select Committee to study government operations with respect to intelligence activities, commonly referred to as the Church Committee, for its chairman, Senator Frank Church of Idaho. However, millions of pages of documents remain unreleased, and many released documents are heavily censored. In its final report, the committee sharply criticized COINTELPRO. Quote, "Many of the techniques used would be intolerable in a democratic society even if all the targets had been involved in violent activity, but COINTELPRO went far beyond that. The Bureau conducted a sophisticated vigilante operation aimed squarely at preventing the exercise of First Amendment rights of free speech and association, on the theory that preventing the growth of dangerous groups and the propagation of dangerous ideas would protect the national security and deter violence." So, I ask you all the question, COINTELPRO, are all the subversive acts from the Department of Justice against the ultra-MAGA movements, against the Patriots of America, MAGA country, did you vote for Donald Trump? You're probably on the list. Are we seeing the actions of the FBI reimagining what COINTELPRO could be for a future operation? Was COINTELPRO or some other nefarious program like it used to blackmail Donald Trump, to castigate and humiliate and demoralize anybody that was involved in the Trump administration? Was it also used to then demonize and subjugate half of America because they dare go against the status quo of the politicians? Was COINTELPRO and other operations like it used to spin doctrines in the direction of already mentally deranged people online in these online Discord chat forums? Was the shooter of Buffalo, New York, a victim of this very same operation? And yeah, I did say victim. If so, because if so, if he was targeted by the FBI, well then, could he have been a potential victim? A already sickened child who was then hyper-aggressively sought after. I'll say it like that. Sought after by the FBI and then spun off course into going into a killing spree. Was it also coincidental that Gendron happened to kill a man who was a security guard at this store that also was an absolute genius who was about to revolutionize the way automobiles could be ran in this country by running automobiles off of water through hydraulic electrolysis? These are the questions that I have. That's my inquisitorial mind. What do you? What do you think about all this? Do you think the FBI has their hands in this? Do you think the FBI has ever done anything like this. Well, possibly. Have they ever tried anything like this where they have tried to take a young man who is already mentally unhealthy and turn him into a terrorist? Let's find out. This article that you're about to hear comes from CBS News, probably one of the only good things I've ever read from CBS. And this was August 17, 2017. Stand by for what you're about to hear. In Oklahoma City, the family of a man accused of attempting to detonate what he believed was an explosive-laden van outside of an Oklahoma bank says that he is a paranoid schizophrenic and that the FBI knew it. Clifford and Melanie Varnell of Sayre, Oklahoma, issued a statement late Tuesday that questions the tactics undercover FBI agents used to arrest 23-year-old Jerry Drake Varnell. That's their son. He was taken into custody early Saturday for the alleged plot to detonate a vehicle bomb in an alley adjacent to the Bank First in downtown Oklahoma City. Varnell, who lives with his mother and stepfather in Sayre, about 130 miles west of Oklahoma City. Notice that, 130 miles away. Is jobless due to his schizophrenia and does not have the resources to carry out such an act alone, according to the family statement. The FBI came and picked him up from our home. They gave him a vehicle, gave him a fake bomb, and every means to make this happen. The statement said, adding that the authorities should have not aided and abetted a paranoid schizophrenic to commit this act. The FBI spokeswoman, Jessica Rice, in Oklahoma City, and an assistant U.S. attorney, Scott Williams, declined to comment. Varnell has suffered through countless serious, full-blown schizophrenic delusional episodes, and he has been put in numerous mental hospitals since he was 16 years old. And this is according to the family statements. And it added that his parents are his legal guardians and do all they can to keep him safe and functional. The mental health system has consistently failed us due to the lack of establishments and health care coverage for a person like him, according to the statement. Varnell takes medication, but he will never be a completely functional person in his life. The Varnells say that their son is easily influenced, and they believe a confidential informant who tipped FBI agents off to the alleged plot may have inspired it. A criminal complaint says that the FBI sent an undercover agent posing as an explosive expert who could help Varnell after being tipped off to the alleged plot by the confidential informant. The complaint says that Varnell allegedly claimed to have experience making small bombs, but was convinced by an undercover agent that the agent should provide the supplies. Varnell allegedly claimed to have experience making small bombs, okay? But was convinced by an undercover agent that the agent should provide the supplies. You heard that correctly. Ultimately, officials say Varnell was provided with fake bomb-making materials. Varnell was monitored closely for months. Months? Not hours? Not days? Not weeks? Months? He was closely monitored for months as the alleged bomb plot developed during a long-term domestic terror investigation, says federal prosecutors. The complaint says that Varnell initially wanted to blow up the Federal Reserve Building in Washington, D.C. with a device similar to the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing because he was upset with the government. Varnell allegedly later identified Bank First in downtown Oklahoma City as his target, according to federal prosecutors. When asked why he switched to Bank First instead of the government building he originally planned, he said, "Well, I don't want to kill a bunch of people." That's on the federal complaint. Varnell allegedly referenced the movie Fight Club when he discussed wanting to take down a government facility or other structures. Varnell allegedly claimed to embrace the Three Percenter ideology, referring to a far-right anti-government group that has rallied against gun control efforts and pledges resistance to the federal government over the infringement of constitutional rights. I'm going to stop myself right here real quick. Understand that the ideology of the Three Percenter, which goes way back into history, guys, okay? If you put Three Percenter on your social media or anything like that, you're going to be monitored and observed. Period. You have an entire sect of the government on the intelligence side that is looking for everything white supremacy. Even if your organization that you join is not white supremacy, they relate these things all together, and you get wrapped up into it. So, avoid Big Brother, and avoid putting 3% or ideology stuff on your social media. Look, I can't stop you if you go and do it. I don't care either way. I'm not a part of a group. Not a part of a militia, don't want to be a part of a militia, don't want to be a part of the group. I'm a child of God, I'm a citizen of heaven, and I carry the sword for him, and that's all I care about, right? I don't need to join a group. I already joined groups. I was already in the Marine Corps, I was already in law enforcement. I already joined my groups, right? Be very careful with anything that says militia nowadays, because if it's anything militia topic related, it's going to have an FBI informant in it, and they're going to be setting people up. For whatever reason, that's what they do now. It's completely constitutionally legal to have a militia, and I'm not telling people not to have militias. I'm just telling you to be wise as to what is going on in this country right now. That's why I always tell people who ask me, I got an email a while ago, some guy saying that I should be making up a PDF form of how to start a militia and training, and I should be posting it. Yeah, screw you. I'm not doing that. Sorry, FBI. I'm not following for that one. I'm telling you, folks, there is something in the works right now. And anyone who can be easily fooled is going to be caught up. So, have a care. Watch what you do. Watch what you say. Watch out for your brother. If you start to see some nonsense going on people's social media accounts, you may want to say, hey, you might want to take that stuff down, because there are certain agencies that watch out for that. That's my tip. All right, let's get back into this. In a series of text messages exchanged with the FBI's informant, Varnell, quote, claimed to have a bunker for when the world collapsed and indicated he was trying to build a team, the complaint says. You notice these words that are being used? Collapse, bunker, teams. Are these not things like the average man who cares about this country, who cares about guns, who's a prepper? Average common base things and themes that we talk about. That is what is wrote down in this criminal complaint against a man who is a known schizophrenic. Literally can't go outside without his parents escorting him. Can't have a driver's license. Can't have a job. And the FBI is going to say that this guy, who's unfit for anything except for eating and showering and being comforted by his parents for as long as possible, was accredited to this supposed plot attack? No. He was guided, just like what happened in Buffalo. Let's continue. The complaint says that Varnell, and he's quoted saying, "I'm out for blood." Varnell's texts were put down in this complaint, stating that when militias start getting formed, I'm going after government officials when I have a team. Have a team. A 23-year-old kid with no training, no connections to the military or law enforcement. A 23-year-old kid who is a schizophrenic, heavily reliant upon medication to keep him copacetic, is not going to form a team, does not have a team, and the investigators knew that. Knew that. And they proceeded anyways. Look at this. When militias start getting formed, you know how many people email me or try to talk to me here and there? We should form militias. There's already militias formed. Go join one. Well, you should join a militia. I'm fine. I run solo. I'm the lone wolf. I'm completely okay by myself on my farm taking care of my family because I'm not stupid enough to get myself caught up in January 6th myself. I'm not going to be caught up with any of the FBI's lies because that's all the FBI does right now. The FBI used to be great. I used to work with the FBI. Those guys were awesome, especially up in the Northeast. That's a whole different beast of the FBI because they deal with mafia. Some fun stuff. But you know what's really not fun is the fact that now, since everything's highly politicized, the FBI is an embarrassment. An embarrassment. All right, let's continue. The complaint says that Varnell prepared a statement to be posted on social media after the explosion. Helped assemble what he thought was the explosive device. And helped load it into what he believed was a stolen van. Varnell then allegedly drove the van to Bank First, parked it in an alley next to the building, and dialed a number on a cell phone he believed would have triggered the explosion. That's what the criminal complaint says. Now, a federal detention hearing for Varnell was scheduled on August 22nd if convicted of attempting to use explosive devices to destroy a building and their interstate commerce. Would have cost him over 20 years. But there's a caveat to this story. So I want you to listen to some different reactions. So this is from the Oklahoman.com on the same topic about Varnell. Now, his parents, Clifford and Melanie Varnell, said, this is Jerry Varnell's parents, said that they were distraught about the situation and said that federal investigators knew their son has the paranoid subtype of schizophrenia. They said they obtained a guardianship over Varnell because of a court found him incompetent and he had been hospitalized for psychiatric reasons countless times. Quote, "What the public should be looking at is the fact that the FBI gave our son the means to make this happen." That's coming from a written statement from the Varnells. Here's another quote. "He has no job, no money, no vehicle, no driver's license due to the fact that he is schizophrenic, and we as parents do everything we can possible to keep him safe and functional. Underneath his condition, he is a sweet-hearted person," says his parents. They also allege that the complaint exaggerates the truth, including portraying a shipping container they use as a storage shed and storm shelter as an underground bunker. There's your bunker reference. "People with paranoid schizophrenia experience hallucinations or delusions, often focused on non-existent persecution. Now, people with schizophrenia also can experience mood disturbances and other symptoms such as difficulty planning, or they do not express emotion at times. Court documents from a prior domestic violence case said that Varnell was being treated for schizoaffective disorder, which combines thought systems such as these in schizophrenia with mood problems such as depression or mania. Psychiatrists sometimes come to different conclusions about what disorder best characterizes a patient's symptoms. There isn't enough evidence to tell whether people with mental illness are more vulnerable to radicalization than people without, said Patrick James, a researcher at the National Consortium of the Study of Terrorism and Response to Terrorism at the University of Maryland. Studies have estimated that only about 4 to 8% of people who subscribe to an extremist ideology have a mental illness, but that a higher percentage of those who actually commit a violent act have a mental health problem. It isn't clear whether mental health problems are the biggest factor pushing radicalized people towards violence. However, because people with mental illness are more likely to have other risk factors, such as a history of trauma, a substance use disorder, or social isolation. Quote, "So often, people that are dealing with mental illness are dealing with these other factors. Federal authorities declined to comment Tuesday, but the criminal complaint they filed against Varnell was intent on attacking government targets. The 17-page complaint said that an agent made contact with Varnell after a paid informant serving a prison sentence showed screenshots of texts where Varnell discussed going after government officials. The 17-page complaint said an agent made contact with Varnell, the schizophrenic kid, so off his rocker on schizophrenia that his parents had to take care of him for the rest of his life, was framed by an FBI paid informant who was currently serving a prison sentence and showed screenshots of texts where Varnell discussed going after government officials in order, I'm guessing, to lessen the sentence or get himself out of prison. How interesting. The criminal complaint alleged that Varnell had researched bomb-making materials, took an active role in building the device, and said he would accept some deaths in order to start a revolution. Quote, "You got to break a couple of eggs to make an omelet," Varnell allegedly told an FBI undercover agent. "That's why people don't do this expletive, because you know you got to be able to overcome that little reality there." Varnell's parents said that they would have sought to have him committed to a psychiatric facility if investigators had told them about his alleged statements, but that they had never heard him express hostility toward the government. The parents also attacked the credibility of the informant. Quote, "The FBI should have filed conspiracy on our son and had him committed to a mental institution. They should not have aided and abetted a paranoid schizophrenic to commit this act. There is no person in his life that has even heard anything about hatred for the government, and we have all been shocked by this event." Unfortunately, the counterterrorism framework in the United States doesn't offer many options to try to divert a person from a potentially violent path. Some European and Middle Eastern countries have had success reintegrating radicalized people back into normal society with mental health treatment and other supports, but that isn't available on a large scale in the United States. So what do you think of that? Could there be something more nefarious happening right now with what we're seeing? Could there be another act that is happening by the FBI where they are targeting mentally ill people like Ramos, like Gendron, like the man who shot up the Buffalo, New York subway. The most common theme here, and this is, you know, my law enforcement hat being put on, the most common theme here is that these guys all had interactions with people on the internet, and we know that the internet is proven to be able to sway people's thought process. It's the way that you can attack someone emotionally. So, between the internet being used as this instigating tool, FBI informants, radicalism within the groups, obviously. The Brooklyn shooter was into a form of black supremacy radicalism. Gendron was into a form of white supremacy radicalism. We don't know much yet about Ramos from Uvalde. We know that he was transgender. We know that he was a kid. He was 18, still going to school. But at that point in time, would not have graduated because he didn't go to school enough. There's missing pieces here. I want to say that what we're seeing is a definite pattern of the FBI using informants over the past period of years, from this poor kid in Oklahoma, January 6th, who knows where else, with, you know, I mean, I remember when Obama was still the president and we were working under him. It was like every month the FBI foiled a new terror attack, because they would get on Facebook and wherever else and they'd talk to some crazy guy and more or less lead him to want to commit a jihad on somebody, and then they'd go and arrest him. And look at me, FBI, we made another arrest. So it kind of feels like that's what's happening, right? It feels like they are building the shooters. They are instructing and building, coercing, navigating their way through the internet and whatever means that they need to commit the act. You know, once again, look at the Las Vegas shooting. The Las Vegas shooting was completely sealed up. Completely sealed up. We don't know anything about that shooting anymore. I'm just telling you, folks, I find patterns. I think most of us can do that. I think most of us can find these patterns. We can see the lies in front of our face. And we should be prepared that there are many of these shooters wrote into these scripts, because there is obviously a narrative that's being followed. All right. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer: Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to American Vindicta. So, I want to go over some stuff that I'm working on right now for the active shooter awareness and reaction class that I will be hosting at Bob Griswold's, who is one of the sponsors of Ready Made Preparedness. We'll be out there at his land, and we'll be hosting this class, which will not only just be over the active shooter awareness training, but it'll also be on various ways to react to active shooters. We're going to be, you know, giving you a lot of tips and pointers of how to use situational awareness. We'll be going over a little bit of how to have some force-on-force stuff with some airsoft guns. So that's going to be pretty fun. You're going to get to shoot at each other with airsoft BBs. All right. Still going to hurt. I'm trying to find the shock knife that we used when I was at basic training for DHS. It's really fun in a not fun way. Imagine a taser, but the front end of the taser is now the blade of the knife. So we're going to be throwing that in just to show you how to keep away from knives. And then we'll also, you know, have a little bit of a shooting course involved in there. It's not going to be who's top shot. It's not going to be, you know, everybody's a Navy SEAL. We're just going over basic fundamentals of marksmanship and then a little bit of, you know, technique shooting. So I'm working on a PowerPoint for this demonstration, which is going to be the major part of the first day of the training. And I just want to go over with you some of the stuff that I have found so far to introduce into this PowerPoint. And if you want to see the entire thing, well, you may have to come out to the training. Now, a number of victims of the worst mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and May 2022. I was able to find the stats for this, and I think you're going to be a little bit surprised. If anything, let's refresh your memory. All right, so let's start with the worst mass shooting so far. Las Vegas Strip Massacre, Las Vegas, Nevada, 2017. 58 fatalities, 546 injured. Orlando Nightclub Massacre, Orlando, Florida, 2016. 49 fatalities, 53 injured. Virginia Tech Massacre from Blacksburg, Virginia, 2007. 32 fatalities, 23 injured. Sandy Hook Elementary Massacre, Newtown, Connecticut, 2012. 27 fatalities, 2 injured. Texas First Baptist Church Massacre, Sutherland Springs, Texas, 2017. 26 fatalities, 20 injured. Luby's Massacre in Killeen, Texas in 1991. 24 fatalities and 20 injured. San Ysidro McDonald's Massacre in San Ysidro, California in 1984. 22 fatalities and 19 injured. El Paso Walmart mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, 2019. 20 fatalities and 26 injured. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting, Parkland, Florida, 2018. 17 fatalities and 14 injured. United States Postal Service shooting, Edmond, Oklahoma, 1986. 15 fatalities and 6 injured. San Bernardino mass shooting, San Bernardino, California, 2015. 14 fatalities and 21 injured. Binghamton shootings in Binghamton, New York, 2009. 14 fatalities, 4 injured. Fort Hood massacre in Fort Hood, Texas, 2009. 13 fatalities, 30 injured. Columbine High School massacre in Littleton, Colorado, 1999. 13 fatalities, 24 injured. Aurora Theater, Aurora, Colorado, 2012. 12 fatalities, 70 injured. Washington Navy Yard, Washington, D.C., 2013. 12 fatalities, 8 injured. Thousand Oaks nightclub shooting in Thousand Oaks, California, 2018. 12 fatalities, 22 injured. Virginia Beach municipal building shooting, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 2019. 12 fatalities, 4 injured. Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 2018. 11 fatalities, 6 injured. GMAC massacre in Jacksonville, Florida, 1990. 10 fatalities, 4 injured. Red Lake massacre from Red Lake, Minnesota in 2005. 10 fatalities, 5 injured. Santa Fe High School shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, 2018. 10 fatalities, 13 injured. Boulder Supermarket shooting, Boulder, Colorado, 2021. Does anybody remember that? 10 fatalities, no injuries. Buffalo Supermarket massacre, 2022. 10 fatalities, 3 injured. Dayton Entertainment District shooting in Dayton, Ohio, 2019. 9 fatalities, 27 injured. The number of mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and May 2022, broken down by the shooter's race and ethnicity. 68 shootings by white people. 21 mass shootings, and these are all mass shootings, so 68 mass shootings by white people, 21 mass shootings by black people, 10 mass shootings by Latina people, 8 mass shootings by Asian people, 5 by other, 3 by Native American, and 12 by unknown or unclear. Number of mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and May 2022 by the shooter's gender. 123 of the mass shootings committed were by males, 3 by females, and only 2 were male and female shooters together. Number of murder victims in the United States in 2020 and by the weapons used. Handguns. Handguns killed an estimated 8,020 people. Firearms, type not stated, 4,863. Knives or cutting instruments, 1,739. Other weapons or weapons not stated, 983. Personal weapons, which is hands, fist, and feet, 662. Rifles, 455. blunt objects such as clubs and hammers, 393. Shotguns, 203. Other guns, 113. Narcotics, 113 people were murdered by the use of narcotics. Fire, such as arsonry, 106. Asphyxiation, strangling, 71. Asphyxiation, which is obviously the pillow over the face, 71. Strangulation, 58. Poison, 16. Drowning, 5. Explosives, 4. So when you start to hear from politicians, the rifle's the enemy. Well, 662 people were beaten to death by fist and feet. And only 455 were shot to death by a rifle. Other weapons not stated, which could be a whole, you know, smorgasbord of stuff. 983. Already more than the rifle. But shotguns killed 203 people. They go after the thing that is the most dangerous to the government, not to the people. Mass shooters have killed hundreds of people throughout the United States in realms like stores, theaters, and workplaces. But it is in schools and colleges where the carnage reverberates, perhaps most keenly, places filled with children of tender ages, older students aspiring to new heights, and the teachers planting the seeds of knowledge, and their journeys are all cut short. If a mass shooting is defined as resulting in the death of four or more people, not including the perpetrator, 169 people have died in 14 such events connected to U.S. schools and colleges, from 1999's Columbine High School massacre to last Tuesday's shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Now, that's according to a database compiled by the Associated Press from USA Today and Northeastern University into the other reporting agencies. So, here's what we got for school shootings. Robb Elementary School, May 2022. 21 dead by an 18-year-old gunman who had opened fire Tuesday at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, killing 19 children and 2 adults. Law enforcement killed the attacker, eventually. Oxford High School, November 2021. 4 dead. A sophomore student is accused of killing 4 people and wounding others at his school in Oxford, Michigan, near Detroit. His trial is set for September. His parents are charged with involuntary manslaughter, and authorities say they ignored warning signs. Warning signs. Boy, I hope the FBI agents involved and the Buffalo shooter also get brought to justice too then. Santa Fe High School, May 2018, 10 dead. A shooter opened fire at a high school, a Houston area high school, killing 10 people, most of them students. Authorities said the 17-year-old suspect was charged with murder. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, February 2018, 17 dead. An attack left 14 students and 3 staff members dead at the high school in Parkland, Florida, and injured many others. The 20-year-old suspect was eventually caught and charged with murder. Umpqua Community College, October 2015, 9 dead. A man killed 9 people at the high school in Roseburg, Oregon, and wounded 9 others, then killed himself. Marysville Pilchuck High School, October 2014, 4 dead. A 15-year-old used text messages to draw several cousins and friends to his cafeteria table at Marysville Pilchuck High School in Washington State. He fatally shot 4 of them before killing himself. University of California, Santa Barbara, May 2014, 6 dead. A 22-year-old college student frustrated over sexual rejections fatally stabbed or shot six students near the school in Isle Vista, California, and injured several others before he decided to kill himself. Sandy Hook School, elementary school. December 2012, 27 dead. A 19-year-old man killed his mother at their home in Newtown, Connecticut, then went to the nearby Sandy Hook Elementary School and killed 20 first graders and six educators and took his own life. Okios University, April 2012, seven dead. A former nursing student fatally shot seven people at the small private college in East Oakland, California. He died in prison in 2019. Northern Illinois University, February 2008, five dead. A 27-year-old former student shot and killed five people and wounded more than 20 others at the school in DeKalb, Illinois, before killing himself. Virginia Tech University, April 2007, 32 dead. A 23-year-old student killed 32 people on the campus in Blacksburg, Virginia in April 2007. More than two dozen others were wounded. The gunman then killed himself. West Nickel Mines Amish School, October 2006, five dead. A 32-year-old man entered an Amish schoolhouse near Lancaster, Pennsylvania, dismissed the boys, bound the girls, and fatally shot five of them before killing himself. Five others were wounded. Red Lake High School, March 2005, nine dead. A 16-year-old student killed his grandfather and then the man's companion at their Minnesota home, then went to nearby Red Lake High School where he killed five students, a teacher, and a security guard before shooting himself. Columbine High School, April 1999, 13 dead. Two students killed 12 of their peers and one teacher at the school in Littleton, Colorado, and injured many others before killing themselves. So what does all this mean? This means that we have had this problem with school violence since 1999, and every single time we have to record and catalog the events of these school shootings and the investigations then pursue. And then we have the after-action reviews of how law enforcement handled the situation. We tend to learn and hope that we grow more intelligent as a society, especially in law enforcement, as to handle these shooters, how to see them coming, how to have the mental health preparations there for people that could potentially be identified as shooters. But where did it all go? We had all the planning. We had all the commitments. We had all the signs. We had, you know how many times congressmen and senators have gone out on front of the media and talked about how we need to change, we need to change, we need to change. Well, I just read you a lot of times when they had the ability to make the changes, and now they're choosing to do so. But instead of actually attacking the root of the problem with the mental health, they attack the gun. All you're going to do is you're going to switch one weapon that's a shotgun or a rifle or a pistol to a bow and arrow to some sort of a melee weapon like a bat or an axe or a machete, and the shootings, the killings will still happen. That's it. That's all I got for you today. This is American Vindicta. My name is Doug Thornton. I hope you learned something. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.